Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Good evening, everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good evening, everybody. My name is Adedayo Babalola, and tonight we're going again in a teaching that we have titled Letter to My Son David. And tonight I want to encourage you, I'll do the same myself. I want to encourage you that you should actually share the teaching with somebody. I believe that as you do, other people have the opportunity to hear God's word and to be changed. It's going to be an awesome one tonight, and I just hope that you will pay attention and be blessed. All right, okay. Let us pray. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified, and your name is glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We are looking at a topic that we have called Letter to My Son David, and we are going to look at our scripture for this teaching. And the scripture for this teaching is in the book of Timothy. Timothy, 1 Timothy, chapter 3. We are reading from verse 15 or 14. 1 Timothy 3:14. It says, "These things I write unto you, hoping to come to you shortly. But if I tarry long, thou mayest to know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and crown of truth." So this man is saying that he's writing to his son Timothy so that Timothy will know how to behave. So what is the purpose of the writing? The purpose of the writing is that Timothy will know how to behave. So like we have said in the last four sessions, a believer does not know how to behave by assumptions. And this is what a lot of people get wrong with worshiping God. In the worship of God, we don't determine how we worship God. We worship God based on what he said. So that's why Paul will be writing Timothy, instructing Timothy on how he should behave himself. So there's a particular kind of behavior. Look at it in verse 15. "If I tarry long, thou mayest know how you ought to behave." Right? So there is the how we ought to behave. Right? There is the how we are to behave and how we are not to behave. Very, very clear. In the things that pertains to God. So there are things we do and there are things we do not do. And so while we got that reading, we also looked at the book of Jude. And in the book of Jude, we actually looked at Jude verse 11. And we're teaching on the people don't behave like these ones. Right? And we see in Jude 11. Are you there? Jude 11. I started off by saying there is a way to behave. Paul wrote to Timothy to instruct him about how to behave. To assume how to behave in the things pertaining to God is to be ignorant. Right? The fact is, that's why a lot of people are genuine, but they are genuinely wrong. Right? A man does not know how to behave based on assumptions. A man knows how to behave in the things of God based on being instructed. This is very, very important. That's why I said, I am writing you so you will know how to behave. Very important. And so we see some people in the Bible, in Jude 11. It says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." So Cain will be an example of a man that we do not act like. Remember, we are looking at how not to behave. And it tells us about a man called Cain, which we have covered in the last series, right? And Cain, you see, Cain is a man that was in the Old Testament. Why do we read the Old Testament, for example? Romans 15:4. Romans 15:4. Right? Some people say, no, I'm a New Testament believer. I don't read the Old Testament. That is not correct. The Old Testament gives us instructions, correction in righteousness.
Right? Look at Romans 15:4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, our instruction. They were written to be instructive to us, that we through the patience and the comfort of scriptures might have hope. Look at that again. Don't rush through it. People should not speed read the Bible. It's not a good way to read the Bible. So go again. For whatsoever things are written aforetime. So when Romans is writing here, when Paul is writing here to the Romans, he says whatsoever things are written aforetime. That will be Genesis to Malachi. He says they were written for what? They were written for our learning. So when you read the Old Testament well, what would you come up with? You will learn. So one of the things, for example, you will learn is that you should not be a man like Cain. You see that now? That's why in Jude chapter 1 verse 11, it says, woe to them that have gone in the way of Cain. So there is something in the Bible called the way of Cain. Look at 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3, the way of Cain. The way of Cain. 1 John 3 verse 11. It says, this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain. So who is Cain? Cain is that man that does not walk in love. Cain is that man that does not receive the love of God. He didn't receive the love of God, so he could not do what? He could not spread it. It is the love of God that you receive, that you spread. When a man thinks that he needs to do things to earn the love of God, it affects how he loves on other people. Let me say this to you. We do from a reflection of what we have received from God. Right? So who is Cain? A kind of man who does not walk in love. The kind of man you are not like. The kind of man that will say, "Who is, I am not my brother's keeper." So we said in many series that we are not like Cain. Cain is the man that tried to earn God's love by his works. He could not earn God's love by his works. He wanted to, and so he had no love to give. And in having no love to give, he yielded to the evil one and he killed his brother. When the Lord will appear to Cain, Cain will say, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Oh, and that's why 1 John 3 verse 11 will say, this is the message you have heard from the beginning. What is the message of Genesis? The love of God. Who then will be Cain? Cain will be a man who does what? Who does not receive, embrace the love of God. He wants to embrace works. He doesn't embrace the love of God, and he ends up becoming a what? A murderer. But who are you? You are that man that has seen the love of God. You have known the love of God. You can shed and share the love of God. Look at 1 John, that same 3. Look at verse 16. John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. Please, I hope you're following me. Say, you say, I'm not like Cain, the man that does not receive God's love and spread it. I am that man who has received God's love and who spreads it, serving others. Look at 1 John 3:16. Hereby we perceive the love of God. Amen. So what do? We perceive the love of God. We are aware of it. That word perceive there is the word aware. We are conscious. We recognize the love of God because he laid down his life for us. This is where this is the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible lays down his life. The Christian is the one that sees what the God of the Bible does and does it. He says he laid down his life for us. Sacrifice. He gave us his love. Right? What are we to do? Receive that love. What did Cain not do? Cain did not receive that love. Amen. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. So we laid down our lives for the brethren because we have seen it so clear that he laid down his life for us. What happens to me when I do not lay down my life for the brethren? What happens to me when I do not receive God's love like Cain? Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 16. And we know, that's you, and believe the love that God had towards us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Look at verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. We have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, right? But perfect love casts out fear. So who was Cain?
Cain was a man that rejected God's love. So Cain was a man that must have been living in fear. Cain was living in fear. Cain was living in torment. Cain ended up becoming a murderer. Did you notice how I just paired it up for you? Look at it. Look at it again. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. We said Cain was a man that rejected God's love. So he could not love on others.
Right? So he says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love cast out fear. Because fear has torment.
So who will be Cain? A tormented man. He was tormented by fear. He was tormented by fear. He ended up murdering his brother. We are not like that man. The man that rejects God's love, right, cannot serve God's love to others. The more I am aware, write this down, the more I am aware of how much God loves me, the more of love I have to give, even in my mind, to other people.
Amen.
Praise God. So how do I see to it that the love of God is practically manifested from me to others? I remind myself of how much God loves me. The Bible says when I remind myself of how much God loves me, I see it as so. I am able to love on others.
Look at 1 John 3 again. Look at it. Verse 16. Hereby we perceive the love of God because are you seeing the words there?
Because he laid down his life. Why do I do what I do? Because he laid down his life.
Amen.
Why do I do what I do? It's not because the other person is nice. You know, even this, don't be Cain in your marriage. Don't be a Cain amongst your friends. Don't be a Cain in church. Don't be a Cain anywhere. Right? What do I do that I will not act like Cain? I must continually remember the love that God has towards me. Right? It's not about what the people do. It's not. Listen, Christianity is not what people do. Christianity is what Jesus did that you received. Are you getting it? Christianity, listen to it again. Listen slowly to this matter. Christianity is not about what people do. What people do, is it important? Yes, it is. But when we are talking about Christianity, it's not about what people do. It's about what Jesus did that you believe. In believing it, it affects how you do, regardless of what others do. Do you get it?
Amen. Praise God. So I said that to say, we are not like Cain. Cain is the man that did not walk in love. Let's go back to the book of Jude. Let's go quickly to the book of Jude again. Right? We are in verse 11. It says, woe to them, for they gone in the way of Cain, and they ran greedily after the error of Balaam.
Who is Balaam? Balaam is that man that puts money before God. So, we just said, you are not like Cain, who did not receive God's love. There's another man in the Old Testament who, what was his problem, his situation? He was a minister of the gospel, but he loved money. He put money before God. People could bribe him. He was someone that the devil could use money to influence. So, the Bible says here that, ran greedily after the error of Balaam. So, the man that is actually giving is covetous. That man, what will happen to him? That man will run into error.
Amen. Let's look at what Peter says about this very interesting man called Balaam. 2 Peter 2, verse 14.
Please, I hope I am not too fast.
2 Peter 2:14. Amen. It says, having eyes full of adultery.
He's talking about ministers. When he says adultery there,
okay, I'll explain that later. And cannot cease from sin. What? Then you see a semicolon.
Beguiling unstable souls. So what would they be doing that he will call adultery? It would be preaching the word of God. Preaching the word that is not the word of God to actually affect the minds of other men. That men would actually leave their first love, Jesus, and embrace falsehood.
That's what he's trying to talk about there. Right? He says, they're having eyes, right? Eyes full of adultery. But what do they really do?
Beguiling. He said that word beguiling there is deceiving unstable souls. Why? So through wrong doctrine, these ones were speaking.
This is talking about ministers. He says,
and their hearts have exercised covetous practices. Can you see it there? They are people that put money before God. So he first starts off by calling them adulterers, men that beguile, they deceive unstable souls. What is he really talking about? Men who are covetous. You know, they put God, the money before God. They preach money before God. Right? Amen.
And so he says here, verse 15, they are forsaking the right way.
Anytime a man has too much emphasis on money and is always talking about getting money, and is always very loud about, if you do this, God will give you this kind of money, he says very soon that man will get into error. We do not become Christians so that God will make us rich. Are there rich Christians? Yes. Are there poor Christians? Yes. Why are we Christians? We are Christians to serve the Lord. Right? But so when we start to promulgate a gospel that puts money at the center of our worship of God, he calls it the false way of Balaam, an error.
Let's continue here. It says, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of who loved the wages of unrighteousness.
Right? You see, that man Balaam, we spoke about it last week, that man was covetous. You know, it's very important that if you look through the scriptures, one of the things that the Bible says you should be very, very strong around, check it out in the people you bring around you, your friends, who you want to marry. You must have, as a believer, you must be clear about what your friend believes about money, because your circle of influence influences your life. You must be very clear what they believe about money. The local church that you go to, what do they believe about money? Because covetousness is one of the loudest things that God talks against in scriptures. It is very loud. Covetousness. Right? Okay, so that it's very important. In fact, when you look at the book of 1 Corinthians, let me show you 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 11.
1 Corinthians 5:11.
But now I have written unto you not to keep company. Are you listening? There are some certain set of people God will say, this one cannot be in your close circle. Amen? Say, a believer, everything goes. As a believer, everything does not go. No, everything does not go. Right? You warn once or twice a heretic or someone that is misbehaving. After that, you give them some space. Not that you will not greet them, you give them some space so that they don't influence you negatively. Look at 1 Corinthians 5:11. For now, I have written unto you that you don't keep company with every man that is called a brother or an easy fornicator or covetous. Are you seeing it there? Fornicator. If you have a friend that is a fornicator, what's going to happen to you after a while? You will fornicate. That's what he's saying there. Right? Because it's a system, a way of thinking. Right? Or covetous. Are you seeing it there again? Anytime God talks about bad things, he would always talk about covetousness. Amen. He says covetous or idolater, right? He says that's someone that puts things before God, has a worship center that is not God, right? He says there, railer, someone that talks anyhow, a drunkard, right? An extortioner. He says with such one do not even eat, meaning that you have to have a core. So, for example, you want to get married, one of the things you have to check around is that man covetous? It's important. Your friends, covetous, do they put money first before God? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go back. Amen. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. I hope you're learning something, because we are looking at how to behave. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is where we ended up last week. Look at verse 6. 6:6. 1 Timothy 6:6. It says, for godliness. In fact, look at verse 5 again. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Are you seeing it again that he's trying to talk about? He says some people think that money, having money, is how you know that God is with you. He says from such withdraw yourself. I'm saying to you that if you study, if you're a Bible student, something that God is loud about, and if you're his child, you should be loud about it,
It is the how men treat money. Is it put in its proper place? Do you actually worship money, or do you use money to worship God? It's very important, and it will show up in your decisions. No matter what a man says, you see what he believes in the decisions that he makes. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He says godliness. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. God, what is the opposite of contentment and covetousness? Contentment. What is contentment? Seeing God as your all in all. So he's number one. Amen.
It says it there. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out.
You know, if many people remember this scripture daily, they will act better. They will be more aware. You know, people think and act and behave like they will take things out of this world. People think they will take money out of this world. God said if you have clothing, if you have raiment and you have food, he says be content. Right? Because the truth about it is that you won't take anything out of this world. This is not that you should not work hard. This is not saying that you should not make money. This is saying that money and everything you make will be left on this earth. If you don't spend it all, it will be left on this earth. It's much more about what you use those things to do while you are on this earth. And being on this earth, you will use it to serve God. You will put God first. Woe be it that we put money before God. The service of God is first, no matter where we find ourselves. Look at it. It says here, right? For they that will be rich fall into temptations and snares and many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men and into destruction and perdition. It says, men that follow, that pursue afterward insatiably, who actually, what happens to them? They have substituted it. It is manifest before God. In manifest before God, he says these men will pierce themselves with many sorrows. How do we say manifest before God? Right? When we say God is number one, meaning his word is number one. You know, when a man is born again, right? And he starts to make money. And so because he starts to make money, he does not prioritize Bible study, personal devotions, hearing from God. God is no longer number one. Before you know it, he will become too wealthy that he will not be able to actually balance a marriage. Before you know it, you hear that he has left the wife. He has left the husband. She has left the husband. And they will have legitimate reasons for that. Why? When God is not first, a lot of other things will come in. When money is first, you will justify everything. And what ends up happening to you? He says they drown themselves. Look at it for yourself. They drown themselves, right, with many foolish and hurtful lusts. They drown men in destruction and perdition. Look at verse 10. For the love of money. Money is not the problem. It's your attitude to it that might can be the problem. God is not against you being rich. God is not against you being poor. They are basically your choices, really. God is against you being covetous. That's all. Amen. It says, for the love of money. And the way against covetousness is putting God at the center and his word. Wherewith you don't choose money over God all the time. Money over God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, for the love of money is the root of evil. This is talking to a man even in ministry. It is the love of money that has derailed many people's ministry today. A love of money. It has derailed the ministry. Right? They are still ministering, but it has derailed the ministry because they put money first. Amen. Praise God. For the love of money is the root of evil. It is the root of what? So how will the devil reign or try to operate in the church in the last days? It is through money and the love of it. That's why believers have to be very sensitive. Right? They have to be very careful. Because the devil will come in through these ways. Money. Through these ways. They will... Look at the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Right? 2 Peter. Chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I want you to see that it's everywhere. It says, but there were false prophets. Verse 1. There were false prophets amongst the people. Even so, there shall be false teachers amongst you who will bring in damnable heresies. Even they will deny the Lord. They will be destroyed. Look at verse 2.
and many will follow their pernicious ways, by which reason the way of truth will be evilly spoken of. Look at verse 3. And through covetousness they shall be with vain words make merchandise of you. God even warns us about covetousness in church, amongst ministers, amongst believers. That's why when I'm talking to believers and ministers, I always tell them, let money have the right place and God have the right place. In the day and age that we are in, believers are charging. Like I said it before, believers are charging to minister the gospel. It's covetousness. It's covetousness. It says they will make a merchandise of you through covetousness. It says that is the door to evil. Many people honestly start honestly. But that is the way it always ends up. Don't let's emphasize it too much today. 1 Timothy 6. Look at verse 10. It says, for the love of money is the root of evil, which some coveted after. Some people, and that's why I tell you as a believer, because you know this series is what to make you a success. Be careful how you put money. It says people will pursue money that they will leave God. A lot of people come from maybe poor countries and come into other countries. And you know, before you know it, they don't know God anymore. Why? They don't know God anymore because they pursued money. Amen. Right? Praise God. And that's why in a lot of countries where the countries are poor, the gospel must be the same. If not, if you make gospel the opium of the poor and just talking about God, as man, that a person that can meet your needs, when the needs of men are met, people will have no need for God. Right? They will have what? No need for God. Right? That's why a lot of people come from other countries. They come into this country and they, because they think things are going well in this country, they see no need for God. Why? Because of what they've been hearing before. Amen. Look at it. It says here, the love of money is the root of all evil. Where some have coveted, they have erred from the faith. What is the end of the man who actually puts money first in his walk as a believer or as a minister? He will err from the faith. This warning is already there. He would err from the faith and he will pierce himself with many sorrows. Look, what does he say you should do in verse 11? But man of God, flee. See, what do you flee? You flee covetousness. How do you flee covetousness? He says, flee after, oh man of God, flee these things. Anywhere they are talking about all these underhanded methods, where we, you know, it's like you are to put God second, right? With logical reason. What did the Bible say? Don't sit down and analyze it. Flee. Anything that will make you say, oh, I'm not going to church, I'm not going to serve, I won't be there for the saints, I won't put God first, and they put money. Don't say, hey, well, flee. That's how the devil will enter into believers, right? In the way that they think in the last days, the Bible tells you that. So be smart. I already told you. He said, oh man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. If you follow these ones that I just set out, you cannot follow covetousness. Amen. Praise God. One way to break the hold of covetousness in your life is to be a giver. Who said so? Jesus. Through his apostle Paul. 1 Timothy 6:17. How can I break the hold of covetousness? Right? Number one, be a giver. Number two, see things as things and see God as God. You know, people see, you know, people magnify things. They magnify things. And so what you magnify becomes a big deal to you. See, the mind is neutral. Amen. The mind is what? Neutral. Let me tell you something, for example. If today we all forget what we know about diamonds and we just treat diamonds like a normal stone, what will it be to us? It will be a normal stone. Amen? It is the mind that magnifies whatever it chooses to magnify. That's my point to you. So I'm saying to you, learn to magnify God and see things as things. That is the way to put things in a proper perspective. You own your mind. Amen. Learn to see. That's why the Bible says, magnify the Lord. Who should be big? When we say magnify the Lord, it's not that when you are going to make God bigger. It is that he will be bigger in your mind to you. Because what you magnify in your mind, you pursue after. Amen. Praise God. If you magnify a diamond ring, you want to get it. Right?
If you magnify God, you pursue Him. It's all a game of the mind. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Right? I'm saying a lot of things today that will help you. Look at verse 17. Charge them, 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded.
What is the tendency of the man that has money? To think that money is his God. That's why you see some people, they have money, they lose their home training. They talk to people rudely. Watch how people treat those that they have nothing to gain from. That is their real character. Amen. Let me tell you, even ladies, if a man is nice to you and he's shouting on his subordinates at work, that's his real character. He only sees you as an object for value now. He will treat you the same way. Are you hearing? It's important you know these things. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they should not be high-minded. So what is the tendency? What is that thing that money can do? It can make you feel like you are bigger and better than others. But you're a believer. You know, you don't see. What makes you different is that you have God. So money is not that thing that makes you feel like you are better than others. If you think that way, it's a covetous way to think. To think that, you know what, I have money, I am better than that brother Dapo. No, you are covetous in your thinking. Look at it in James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James. It is the book of James. James, James. James chapter 2. In the book of James chapter 2, we see a story there in from verse 1. He says, if a man comes to church and doesn't dress well, you tell him to sit at the back. And a man comes to church, he dresses in gay clothing, beautiful clothing, you tell him to sit in front. He said, are your motives not judged? How can you be segregating in the church of the living God? He says, no, that is wrong. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why? You are judging based on the financial abilities of the men. And among the saints, saints are the saints. Amen. We treat people as valuable based on their ability to serve. That's what the Bible says. The one that is the servant amongst you is chief. So people are outstanding. We actually reverence them and love on them and see them as different from others to the level to which they serve, not to the level to which they have. Amen. I'm saying a lot of things. I hope you're hearing me. And this is all written in scriptures anyway. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they should not be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Do you notice it calls it uncertain riches? Why? They can be here today and go tomorrow. There are two types of riches in the Bible. Uncertain riches and the sure riches and the true riches. Uncertain riches is the one that you use to purchase things, which is good as well, right? But it's uncertain. It can come today and go tomorrow, just like stock exchange and all of those kind of different things. It's uncertain. But the true riches is eternal life, what you have in you that can never change the regardless of what happens. Amen. That's what the Bible calls true riches. Amen. It says, don't trust in uncertain riches. So there's a tendency, you know, when you are well off, that tendency not to give yourself to prayer anymore. That tendency not to be led by the Spirit. Just like the Bible says, when David, you know what, he had conquered all towns. And so it was time for war. He was no longer going to war. That's when he saw Bathsheba. Bathsheba was taking a bath. Right? Even Bathsheba too. Why didn't she get a place to that she's taking a bath in the open? But any which way, it's not a problem. Also, David too has a problem. Why is David on the balcony on the day people are taking, they're at war? Amen. Praise God. So two of them, I have fought some way, one way or the other. My point is this. My point is, when a man is settled, he thinks he has money, he thinks he has made it, he thinks he has got one here or there, there's a tendency to trust in those things. So he no longer gives himself to prayer. Right? He no longer gives himself to fasting. He no longer gives himself to prayer, Bible study, local church, things of God, devotion. Amen? Yeah, that, it says, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Semicolon. What does God give to us richly? God gives to us richly something to enjoy. What does He give to us to enjoy? Look at, after all things to enjoy, He puts a semicolon. He says, that they be good. You know what a semicolon means? I want to explain further. They should be good. They do good. They should be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. What should the rich man know? The rich man should find his joy, understanding that his assignment with money is to use it to bless other people. The Bible is actually telling you that it is a covetous slant to desire wealth without other people in mind, chiefly. Amen. Let me read it again, and I'll say it again, and let's see if it makes sense to you. I am saying it is ungodly to desire wealth without other people in mind as a believer. Amen. Look at it again. Charge them that they are rich in this world. They should not be high-minded, nor trusting on certain riches. So wealth has purpose. If not, you fall into the covetous bracket. It says, who give us or richly things to enjoy that they do good. So what is the will of God, the vision of God for the rich man? Do good ministries. That they do good. They be rich in good works. Willing, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So the man that has is to do good. I said before now, the way to break covetousness is to take that which you have and use it to do good. Amen. Because we're saying to you that the will of God for the rich man is that the rich man doesn't spend it all on himself. The main trust of wealth is that you want to use it to serve others. That is the believer's main trust. I'm talking about uncertain riches. Padaya, are you against people having things for themselves? No. But I'm saying the ultimate goal of wealth, of wanting to have more than enough, is that you honestly and genuinely want to be a blessing to others. Read it again. What is the instruction? They should not be high-minded. What will make you high-minded? Can you remember the parable of that man, the parable of the rich man that Jesus spoke about, who actually was very rich, had a big barn, and said he was going to build a bigger barn. Then after he built the bigger barn, he said, oh, I will rest my soul. I have all things now. They are all mine. And God says, silly boy, your soul, you are dying today. You didn't know that you're going to die today. What was the problem with that rich man? He was thinking about himself alone. Amen. So as a believer, don't say, oh, this teaching is for rich people. Because that is teaching. I'm talking to you today, where you are. Amen. It says that the vision of the believer is to you, because the believer is a servant. So he uses what he has to serve other men. So when the believer is always me, he's covetous. Amen. Praise God. It says that they do good. I'm in verse 18. Ready? They do good that they be rich in good works. So the rich man is to be rich in good works. The rich man, the believer, is to be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. Willing to communicate. So the man that is a believer understands that he actually has money, and the essence of the money is to use it to serve other people. He is supposed to be what? I mean, verse 18, 1 Timothy 6:18. He is to be rich in good works. Brothers, rich in good works. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That is the believer. The believer is that man who actually has a desire to have more, that he may be able to be a blessing to other people. Rich in good works. Amen. And I said, as you are like that, what do? You break the hold of covetousness. Giving breaks the hold of covetousness, because you are now giving out to others. So it's no longer about you, it's about other people. So that's how giving breaks the hold of covetousness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, finally, we go to the last part of this Jude. Jude 11. We have looked at two people you should not be like. One is Cain. Two is Balaam. The third one, and Cain was a man that didn't walk in love. So we said to the believer, you walk in love. Balaam is the one that loved money. We said to the believer, you are not covetous. Covetous, you walk in contentment. The third one, he says here in verse 11, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Who is Korah? Go to number 16. Why did they write these stories there? They wrote these stories so we will not replicate the things that these people did. Right? So we will not be tempted by what these people did. What did Korah do? Korah rebelled. Korah led rebellion against God's leadership and God's plan. Look at Numbers 16, verse 1. Now Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Look at verse 2. And they rose up before Moses
with certain of the children of Israel, 250. So they raised a rebellion. 250 people, right? They were famous men of renown. So these were people that were known amongst the congregation of Israel. They were the popular ones. They were men of renown. So they were chiefs. They were servants. They were elders in the land.
And see what they said in verse 3. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And they said, you take too much upon yourself. Everybody in the whole congregation is a new creation, is holy. We are blameless. Right? And you know, are you the only one? Are you the only one that God called? God called us too. You cannot be giving us instructions. Right? Look at verse 4. And when Moses heard of it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and all of the company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show you who is holy. Let us stop there for now. What happened to Korah? You know, we are looking at three men you should not be like. We said the first one is Cain. The second one is Balaam. This next one is Korah. Korah is a man that led a rebellion against God's leadership. Please understand it. God's will, God's strategy, God's intelligence is that he always has leaders that he puts in places that people are to be submitted to those leaders. That's God's will, God's plan, God's purpose. Right? Amen. So the believer is to be careful. Now, and that's why you see that we have people called ministry gifts. And these ministry gifts, God puts them. Like, for example, there should be a forum of pastors that are leaders in the local church, or forum of deacons and all of that. Amen. So do you know what happened with Korah here? Dathan and Abiram, they came together with 250 of the saints and said, well, the truth about it is, we too, you know, it happens today. I've seen these things happen today in our days. Where would you say, we too, we have the Holy Ghost. We too, we are born again. We too, we are filled with the Spirit. We too, we walk in signs and wonders. Why should we listen to you, Moses? Why should we listen to you, Aaron? But now, the Bible instructs us in the book of Jude that we should not be like that. What would that be? Rebelling against leadership. Amen. It's very, very, I always tell people, the leadership, if you're in a local church and you don't like the leadership, or you don't, it's not about liking, or you think you are not led to be part of that particular people, of those people, quietly, honestly, without rancor, leave that setting. Amen. What should you not do? Remember, the Bible says, the things that are written aforetime are for our learning. What did Korah do that God did not like? Korah started a mini rebellion, called 250 people, told them that, listen, you know what, Moses is not the only one that is spiritual amongst us, neither is he only Aaron. We too, we are men of God. We too, we know the word of God. We too, we are holy, we are blameless. And they brought division into the camp. Amen. Let's continue. Right? So what then happens? When they actually tell Korah, Dathan and Abiram, when they actually speak to Moses and tell Moses, you are not the only one, we don't like you, are you the only one that God has created, blah, 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 blah. Then Moses says something. Verse 11. Verse 12. And Moses sent to call them, Dathan, Abiram, the sons of Eliab. Do you know what they said? They said, we are not coming. Do you see what has happened there? Open rebellion. People don't understand that God operates through the leadership structure he set up. And so when you disdain the leadership structure, you disdain the Lord. And that's, you see, this thing happens a lot of times in the book of Numbers. But I'm just bringing this one out to you. He now says, we will not come. Look at what he said. He said, is it a small thing? You have brought us out of the land that floweth with milk and honey. They are calling Egypt, where they were suffering, a land of milk and honey, to kill us in this wilderness. So they were speaking against God's plan while it was in the process. Are you hearing? Except that you have not become a prince over us. Right? He says in verse 14, moreover, you have not brought us into the land that flowed with milk and honey, or given us an inheritance. Right? We are not coming to come and see you. And Moses was shocked. And you will see later in this story, as you read on in number 16, you see later in this story that Moses was shocked. And Moses said, Lord, do not respect their offering. Lord, these people that are talking, I have not taken
one thing from them. See the way they are talking to me. See the way they've divided the whole camp. Right? And guess what? The angel of the Lord appears in that place. And then what ends up happening? The angel of the Lord is saying, let's destroy them. We're going to destroy these people. And then Moses starts to intercede on this people's behalf. And guess what happens? The Bible says, he called them, they did not answer him. And then Moses said, except something that is terrible happens, then I'm not a man of God. That the ground opens up and swallows Koram, Datam, and Abiram. And we see the story. What happens there? The ground opens. The angels hit the ground opens, they fall in, and the place closes up. What did the Bible tells about it in the New Testament? The Bible says, do not follow after the error. You know, a lot of people are like that. The Bible says not only the Koram, Datan, and Abiram were swallowed up life, the 250 people too ended up losing their lives. Why? Because they actually rebelled against the leadership. And the Bible says it actually is mentioned. It's mentioned in the New Testament. In Jude 11, it is mentioned and it says, don't go the way of Korah. Korah was a man who rebelled. He led men, Koram, Datam, Abiram, and 250 people to rebel against the Lord. How? By rebelling against the leadership. By rebelling against Moses and rebelling against Aaron. And so, what are we saying to you today? I'm saying to you, wherever it is that you are, especially in this age, if you are in a local church whose leadership you don't think is God's will for your life, quietly leave the place. Don't raise a rebellion. Amen. Don't actually open your mouth and talk anyhow and actually cast aspersions on the plan of God, on the purpose of God that is going on. You will be in error. Let us go back to the book of Jude. Look at verse 11 again. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, a man you should not be like. They've grown greedily after the error of Balaam, that one loves money, a man you should not be like. They have, do you see that? They perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Where did Korah perish? In the things that he said. In bringing division into the camp. Amen. Praise God. I always tell people, when, and it happens a lot, when people say they want to leave a ministry and they want to leave a place, leave the place to the best that you can. With the leader's blessing, don't leave the place like a tout. Don't cause division. Don't spoil the place. Because at the end of the day, you are doing things in the wrong order. And let me tell you, if you are somebody who you have actually been in a ministry, you've worked in the ministry, like just like we see with Koram, Datan, and Abiram, you have become a renowned man in the ministry. Like a leader there, and you think that God is calling you to leave the place, do it respectfully. This is about how to behave like a wise person. Do it respectfully. Do it with the leadership in hand. Don't cause, to the best that you can. I know some leaders can be harmful, but do it with a good conscience. Do it without dividing the camp. You know, by the time this Koram, Datam, and Abiram, the ground had opened and they had entered, the whole camp started shouting on Moses and Aaron, you have killed good people, you are the bad people. Amen. Right? And the Bible tells us an angel appeared over there and the angel was going to strike the people. It was the same Moses and Aaron that interceded for the people of Israel on that day. My point is, as a believer, as a minister, you must never be part of division. You must never be part of casting aspersions. Amen. You must do things rightly. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at what the Bible says about murmuring. You know, in fact, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let us try to conclude with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen. Because we are looking at the type of people not to be like. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Are you there? Now, all these things happened unto them for examples. Are you seeing it? So the Cain we spoke about, the Korah we spoke about, right? And the Balaam we spoke about. Why were they written in the Old Testament? They were written as examples to you. Now, all these things happened unto them as examples, and they are written for our admonition. So should I preach about it? Yes. Amen. Right? So you walk in love and not be like Cain. Receiving God's love, not be like Cain. And then you put money in the right place and you are not like Balaam, who was covetous. And then you are not like Korah, who was against God's leadership. He rebelled against God's leadership and raised people to rebel against God's leadership. Let me say something to you. God cannot bless a work that you started off in rebellion except you repent. Amen. Let me say that. Should I say that again? God cannot bless a work you started off in rebellion except you repent. Amen. Praise God. There are some of you that need to go and call your pastor and say, I'm sorry for the way that you have spoken, the things you have said in their presence, in their absence, in the way that you have acted, and to any particular kind of leadership structure you're in, even at the level of deacons to the saints, at the level of cell leaders to the saints. There is order. Amen. Look at verse 11. Now all these things, 1 Corinthians 10:11, are written for your examples. They are written for your admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Look at verse 20. We're going to look at what the things that are written are anyway, but look at verse 12, sorry. Wherefore, let him that think he standeth, let him take heed, lest he falls. For they had no temptation. So, there is a temptation. There is the temptation to act like Cain. There is the temptation to act like Balaam. There is the temptation, are you getting it? To act like Korah. But it says no temptation. There is no temptation that has taken you, but such that is common to men. Brother, there is nothing you are going through in your life now that has not happened to somebody. Let me say something. Don't magnify what you are going through. I'm not being insensitive. I am just telling you that please don't magnify what you are going through. The Bible says if you are on this earth, what you are going through is common to man. The first way to deal with an issue is disesteem it. Amen. I hope that's something that will bless somebody. It says, yeah, there are no temptation that has happened to you, but so that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation he will make a way of escape that you will be able to escape it. He says, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Did you see that there? Oh, this is phenomenal. It says, listen, most of the times it's a temptation that comes our way that makes us want to act like Cain. It's a temptation, a situation that we are in, that makes us want to act like Korah, hitting out at leadership. It's a temptation that makes us want to act like Balaam, putting money before God. He said that this temptation is common to man. You're not the first to happen to it. It has happened to many people. But you must understand that what? God is faithful. Someone needs to write that down. God is faithful. He will never allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. So if you are in a temptation today, it's because God knows you can bear it. It's because God knows the information that you need to bear it has already been given to you. Let me say this again so that it will help you. Let me help somebody today. Right? The things that you are facing now, the answer to those things are in the former Bible studies you had. The answer, they are in your church meetings. Go back to your notes. Go back to the instructions. Go back to the CDs, the tapes, right? The YouTube messages. The answers are there. He says God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you can handle. He will always make a way of escape. Right? Meaning you make a way of escape that you will not go in the way of the world. Look at the story of Daniel, for crying out loud. Look at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You will have thought that it was okay for them to actually embrace wickedness, embrace falsehood. But the Bible says they stood in their generation. And they said no. Daniel said no, I will not stop my prayer to my God. And he got into the lion's den. Hello, did you notice that the lion did not eat him? Why? God will make a way of escape that you will not be tempted above that which you are able to handle. Amen. The same thing too with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Did you notice that they entered into the fire, but it did not burn them? God will make a way of escape because he's faithful. So when you have the tendencies to be covetous, remember, God is faithful. You say, Pastor, the reason why I'm doing this is because I want to make money, I want to do this. God is faithful. He will make a way of escape. He will not let you be tempted above that which you can handle. Amen. When you are tempted to actually say, you know what, I'm going to stand against leadership, talk to them anyhow, act to them anyhow, say, God is faithful. God is what? Faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted much more. Meaning that this teaching itself is the faithfulness of God, showing you how to behave so you don't misbehave with leadership. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope this is getting to you. But look again, because of our time, let's look again. It says, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 10, 11. Now, these things happen unto them as examples. What are the things that happen to them? Look at verse 6 again. Now, these things were our... Are you seeing that he's telling us a lot of things that they were our example? Look at verse 5. But with many of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. There's some big stuff here. Now, these things were written for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Did you notice? It says that these people... look at another sect of people now. The Israelites. He says the Israelites, they were lusting after evil things. They were just like Balaam. They were covetous, right? And they ended up destroying themselves. The same thing with Balaam. Ended up losing his... We never heard about Balaam again. We never heard about Balaam again. After Numbers 24. We never heard about him again. Balaam. Why? The love of money. It's the same thing here. He says they lusted after evil things. He says it's for us as an example. Look at verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters. Right? Why were they idolaters? Idolaters is the fact that they had another God. They had another center. They put God second. Is that not the same thing we are talking about? Covetousness? Right? It's the same thing with Cain. He put works first before God. It's the love of God we receive first that makes us walk. Amen. But Cain put works first. Just like Balaam put money first. Are you getting what I'm saying? But who are you? You are that man that does not act like Balaam. You are that man that does not act like Korah. You are that man that does not act like Datan, Abiram. Amen. You are that man that does not act like children of Israel. Why were they written in the Bible, in the Old Testament? They were written for our learning. Look at verse 10. Neither murmur, 1 Corinthians 10:10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured. You see, they murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. It says it was written for our example. In the New Testament, in Philippians, it will say to you, let's look at Philippians so we can end there. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, the same thing. Philippians, chapter 2, look at verse 14. It says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Amen. What was Korah doing? Murmuring and disputing, causing disharmony in the camp. He says, it's not our way. It's not the way. It's not the way of God, it's the way of the flesh. Amen. Look at it there in verse 15, that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, wherewith we shine as lights. What have we ended up talking about today? We have spent the last 3 weeks, honestly, talking about the kind of man you should not be. When you read about Cain, you say, I'm not that man, Cain. When you read about Datan, I'm not that man, Datan, Korah, and Abiram. When you read about Balaam, I'm not that man, that is like Balaam. Who am I? I'm the man of the spirit. I walk in love. I walk in the word. I follow after peace. I follow after faith. I follow after patience. I follow after love. That is who I am. Brothers and sisters, these things were written for our learning, for our example. So they are important. They are things to note. Finally, as I end again with 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What does it say? The Lord God, there is no temptation that has come to you that is not common to man. It says, but the Lord God will find a way of escape, that you are not tempted above that which you can handle. If you're going through something right now, it's because you have the capacity to actually handle it. The handling it of it is in the Word of God, is in prayer, is in the notes, is in the Bible studies, it's in the church services, and all of those things, right, to strengthen you to go through, and God will make a way of escape. Till we come your way again next time, there is a man that you are. You are the man of the Spirit. You are the man of love. You're the man of peace. You're the man of patience. Till we come your way again next time, keep thriving as that man in a crooked and perfect generation, that you shine as lights. God bless you. Amen.